In our message this morning, I want us to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, reaching all people. You know, we have covered this quite thoroughly in our music this morning, but I want to touch on a reminder from last week. If you remember last week, we were talking about the God of mercies, the God of all comforts. And as we talked about going through times of difficulty and pain, that we go to the Lord and He gives us the comfort. He draws us near to Himself. And going through these difficult times and pains, we find that He is near to us for the sake of developing us so that we are secure in Him, strengthened by Him, but able to persevere through the heartaches so that we continue in faithfulness, and then we become, out the other side, a testimony of God's goodness and mercies. Amen? So let's put it to use. But there's one problem. Why are we not as evangelistic in heart and in purpose? Maybe as a church, as an individual. Why is it that we're not going and rescuing the perishing? Why is it that we're not going in such a way that we're willing to set all things aside? Everything else is a priority under our purpose and our calling of God. Personally, for me, it's a lack of willingness to be self-sacrificing, right? Only you can answer that for yourself. But for me, I find that I become very selfish with the gospel. I become selfish in only wanting to share when it's convenient. I can become selfish and hesitate when I don't think the situation is exactly what I want it to be. Can you relate? I believe that we all can. So the Lord in His Word begins to set a challenge before us and uses the Apostle Paul in his life to challenge us. What is our mindset to sharing the gospel? Now in this, I've titled it Reaching All People. There's many titles I could have given this, and I think there's going to be a lot of points for us to cover. But the very key is that Paul had the attitude in which he was willing to sacrifice any and all things so that anyone that he could reach with the gospel of Christ could benefit from the eternal love and forgiveness that only Christ can offer. And folks, that comes to the very core of what this message is today. But personally, I think we need to do an examination of ourselves. Being evangelistic, willing to reach out to the lost, must come at a cost. And friends, can I impress upon you, I think that's why we've been failing as a church. Churches, we're not willing to sacrifice what it takes. And man, we were challenged in the songs and the music this morning, over and over and over. If we're going to make Christ more important than anything else, when we do that, then His purpose, His calling, becomes paramount over all other things. I can remember as a young man, I asked the Lord, "Lord, help me to reach my friends for Christ." I had gone through in my high school years, and I wasn't the best example that I should have been. And the Lord convicted me of that. In fact, convicted me so greatly that I went to a church camp one year at Camp Garwood. And this was a little bit before I made my calling public. And the Lord just got a hold of me and said, "You're not what you claim to be." And it convicted me heavy. And I made a change. And when I came back to school, I flat out told the friends that I was hanging out with, I can't do it anymore. I can't do it anymore. And they're like, "What's wrong with you? What happened to you? Did you get religion meat and all of these things?" Now see, that was what was to my shame, is that I was already a Christian. But by me making those changes and commitment to the Lord, they thought I now became religious for the first time. That was to my shame, because I wasn't living a life that spoke my faith out loud. But by making that change, I gave up a lot of things. But you know what? God replaced every single thing that I gave up. He replaced it with greater, better purpose in all of them. So my friend, can I impress upon you that there's nothing that we could ever give up that we will ever miss, that God has even greater blessing, purpose, and plans for our lives. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, he's kind of preaching to the choir today. Well, you know what? Sometimes the choir needs to be preached at. So if you're kind of feeling that way, good. Because I'm glad you think highly of yourself. You know, I don't know why, but we always make the choir the core group. I don't know why, but if I'm preaching to the core today, then glory be to God. I wanted more to be here for Brother Juan's presenting and talking with us as a church. But you know what? Sometimes God just shapes things and develops things the way he wants, and so I surrender to that. I could get on that emotional roller coaster like we all do, but you know what? I'm just, for the lack of words, I'm just a big dummy for the Lord. Let him do, let his wisdom be what is necessary. Amen? And so I relinquish to that. And so should be our calling to share the gospel. When I began to go to my friends, it was tough. Because like, I thought you used to do, yeah, I did. I did. And I was wrong. And I admitted to it. This is what it is. Was I embarrassed? Yeah. Should I have been? Yeah. It was a poor choice on my part. But what was a good choice is saying, that was a bad choice. This is a good choice, and this is why. And you know what? I got to open the scriptures to many of them. I got to share with many of them. And it wasn't until many years later that I found out that some of them decided to follow and make changes in their life because of my radical turnaround. Isn't that interesting? And I didn't even know it until years and years later. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm going to go ahead and read my text. I kind of pointed out was 19 through 23, but we're going to skip throughout this chapter. Okay, so if you got your Bibles, I hope that you do. Keep it open there to chapter 9, and we're going to skip through this whole chapter and kind of lay out a case before you. But I'm going to go ahead and read verses 19 through 23. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law and under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. You know, as we look at this in chapter 9, we can't fully understand how great the sacrifice is until we understand all that was given up. You know, very much the same way that we look at Christ and that he came and he died on the cross for us, we think of all that he gave up in his body and the suffering that he took within his body, but yet to better understand that when he says, I've come to be a servant, I've come to serve, we see that when Mark makes that claim, we don't truly understand the depths of what was being said until we understand all that Jesus had given up by being in the glories of heaven, leaving eternal worship from there, coming to the earth, being born in the flesh, and walking among his own creation. And all that he gave up, the heavenly glories, to be with us. And now we think, oh yeah, he did sacrifice much. In fact, he sacrificed so much that we can't even comprehend all that he has sacrificed. But can I tell you, when we enter into glory ourselves and come before the Father and we see the Lord Jesus face to face for the first time and for all eternity, we're going to realize all that he gave up to save us, to bring us home. Are you with me, church? So in chapter 9, Paul begins to lay out all the rights that he could claim from the church. Now, unfortunately, they were still having deniers that were resisting and rejecting Paul as an apostle of the Lord. So my first point is that an example of self-denial. So for us to understand how that Paul truly denied himself, if you will, and the depths of that, we got to understand what he gave up. And so when we look at verses 1 and 2, he reminds them, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? If I am not an apostle to others, yet doubtless I am to you, meaning Gentile. For you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. He said, he reminds them of his calling. He reminds them that, am I not a free man to do any and all that I am? But yet I am an apostle. Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? So that is an authoritative. It gives his message, his apostleship, his calling. It gives it authority. And he says, but look, not only that, but also you are a seal of my apostleship, meaning you are the fruit of my ministry. Isn't it exciting when a church is able to show how many have we led to the Lord? Here we are. There they are. They're growing. We're investing. We're discipling. We're watching them grow. But more than that, we're seeing souls saved. That's the produce that he was talking about. That's the fruit that he's talking about. It gives evidence that we are alive when we see salvations coming. Are you with me, church? Are you getting uncomfortable yet? We need to be squirming, don't we? We do, to see the urgency. So as he's talking, he says that he chose not to receive wages. You know, verse 7, he kind of points out, he said, look, whoever goes... Well, actually, let me point out, he says, he gives the reasons of why he has the right to receive wages. So he kind of gives in verse 7 an example of a soldier that goes to war. You know, does he not go? He doesn't go at his own expense, does he? Of course not. He talks about the farmer. He plants a vineyard, and does he not eat of its fruit? Well, of course he does. And then, or who tends to a flock, a shepherd, does he not drink of the milk of the flocks? And so he's using all of these examples. He says, those that go and serve and work, do they not have a right to receive from their own labors? And all of them would say, well, of course they do. So Paul's kind of setting them up here. So then in verses 9 through 12, he goes even farther. He says, and look, he says, for is it not written in the law of Moses? Now he's going to the Mosaic law. He says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. Is it oxen that God is concerned about? So he's kind of using a little humor here. He says, we even see that even dealing with our own animals that work the field and tend the field with us, that when they begin to eat of the grain, we don't stop them, right? We want them strong. We want them healthy. And they, because of their strength, have brought this produce. So yes, we'll let the ox eat of the grain that was produced, right? And he said, but I don't think it's oxen that God's concerned about here. I think it's a little bit deeper things, right? Those that minister. So in verse 10, he goes, or does he say it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt this is written, that he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be partaker of this hope. If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? If others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? He says, look, you even submit to authorities over you. You give back to them and taxes and all of these different things. And he says, but yet we as your spiritual leaders, should we not also be of even greater value to you? Church, you can answer that. We should, right? Not just because it's a law, not just because God tells you to, but we see the joy of what God is doing in and through our spiritual leaders. And can I brag on you again? Church, you do very well. You do very well at loving my wife and I, encouraging us, sending us love and offerings, and not offerings, but gifts and things that you send our way, and encouraging letters, encouraging calls, all of those things you do so well. But here's something interesting. Verse 12 and 14, Paul says, I'm not going to take it. Because there in verse 12, he says, if others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? And then he goes on, nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things, lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. He says, we're looking to a greater purpose. Verse 13, do you not know that those who minister the holy things, eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offering of the altar? Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. So he has laid out here a full defense that I could exact from you wages and doing so justly. But as he says, nevertheless, we have chosen not to use this right, but endure all things so that we do not hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you see the passion that Paul had to present the gospel to the lost? Convicting right here. Convicting. Paul chose of his own free will not to take from the Lord's church that he may be able to present the gospel. You know, there about verse 16, he says, for I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. You see the sense of duty. Pastor Mike brought that out as we were singing. It is a duty. Shame to us if we do not share the gospel of those around us. Now, you know, growing up in church, I have always heard preachers and pastors kind of throwing out of, you know, when you stand before the Lord and those that are lost and being judged at the great white throne, if they cry out to you, why didn't you witness to me? I don't know if it will. Sometimes they try to pull on your emotional strings. Do I know for sure that it will happen that way? I don't. But what I do know is that we will all be present at the great white throne judgment. If you understand, the saved will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, but those that are lost will stand before the great white throne. And in these judgments, it's not a determining of whether you get to go to heaven or not. In fact, when you die, that's already determined, because you go to that judgment seat. Those that are lost, they go to the great white throne judgment, not to determine if they go to hell or not. That's already been determined if they had rejected or accepted Christ. Amen? But what is determined is the amount of punishment that they will receive, the rewards of their sin. Now, it sounds kind of contradictory. We always think of rewards as a good thing. But unfortunately, the rewards of sin is going to come upon them, and it's punishment, eternal punishment, in a place called hell. And we will see that. In fact, you'll see in Scripture, in the book of Revelation, the layout of the end times, that we always think about, well, God will wipe away every tear, not until after the great white throne judgment. Folks, I think there will be broken hearts. I think it will be a gut-wrenching thing for all of us, because we're seeing souls being condemned eternally, finally. That's a horrible thing. And yet Paul says, I'm willing to give it all up so that it will never hinder the gospel. I'm sure that there were many, even in this day and age, that they were using and taking advantage of believers and taking ease and gaining great wealth. And Paul says, I'll never do it for the sake of the gospel message. I would that I would draw people to the gospel of Christ, not repel them. Amen? So he says, I'll be a servant to all, that I may win some. That's my second point. In the verses that we read, the whole synopsis, he said, I've become a servant to all. He says, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I may win the more. Do you see that Paul, he's looking for efficiency in evangelizing his friends and those that he comes acquaintances that he knows and those strangers that he come across. He said, I want to win them all, so I've made myself a servant to all. Do you realize that that word servant, that actually goes deeper in saying that it is he has made himself a slave. He has made himself a slave, giving himself to meet the very needs of another. Now, here's something that when we begin to talk about evangelizing, sometimes we were just thinking that, well, I'm just sharing the gospel. But in reality, it is much more than that. It is coming into a relational experience with an individual. When Paul was acknowledging this, he says, look, I'm free to choose and do whatever I want. But can I say that that sometimes becomes our greatest weakness, wouldn't you? I'm not going to go to those people because we've got missionaries that do that. Well, I'm not going to go to this group or that area because the pastor can do that. That's what we pay him for. Have you ever heard of that? Yeah. Unbiblical, completely wrong. Amen? Okay, got to make sure you're with me on that one. Totally unbiblical. Totally unfounded. I'll just be frank with you. When the Lord's church is healthy, it doesn't matter if there's someone filling this pulpit or if this pulpit's empty. If you're doing what God has called you to do, you're going to be just as effective with or without a pastor. Now, some of you are going, well, I think. But here's what I'm trying to get at, that I'm simply the under-shepherd. But you have the shepherd who is guiding you in all things. And so sometimes those things will change, but your calling, your purpose, and the one that's leading you will never change. Amen? So Paul says, I've become a servant to all that I may win the more. You see the attitude of a change, the attitude in which the gospel becomes so important because he has experienced the love of Christ and now he's going to share it with others. He's deciding to become all things to all men. Verse 22. Now, let me kind of verify this. He says, you know, in verse 20, and to the Jews I became as a Jew that I might win Jews, to those that are under the law. Now, Paul's not saying that, well, I'm coming under the law and I'm going to live the law to gain salvation. No. He's giving respect to. He's going to the Jews right where they are. Now, here's something unique about Paul is that he was also raised as a Jew and a very successful, a faithful Jew. And so he has every ability to meet them right where they are, but he doesn't stop there and say, though, I can only relate to those because they're like me. He says, I even go to those who are without the law. And he meets them right where they are. Do you understand that? But he says, but wait. You know, I always run into folks that they're all excited about, you know, coming to Christ, and they're all excited about, and they want to win their friends, and they go to their friends, and for the first time, they're rejected. They're crushed by it. Can you agree? Can you remember when you were first saved, and you went to your first one and tried to share the gospel? Man, sometimes it's just like a bucket of cold water. They just don't get what you've experienced in Christ, and you just don't have the words to express what you've experienced in Christ. And it's so discouraging that you can't go to the ones that you love the most and get them to understand. Can you relate? What'd you do? What's the use? They don't get me. They don't understand. I'm not going to try anymore. That was embarrassing. We could, right? We could. But God says, keep going, right? Keep going. Praise the Lord that he didn't give up on us on the first time, amen? But he continued to pursue us with an everlasting love, and so we will also. Well, he says, I'm not going to them, and I'm not acting out of without law, for I'm under the law of Christ. But Paul says that I'm going to relate to them right where they are. This is what we call relational evangelism. And can I admit to you, it gets messy sometimes. You meet people in places that life is a mess. And you're thinking, do I really want to get involved in this? The answer is probably no. But what is your duty? To love and to reach those that the Spirit of God has led us to. Amen? The challenges that we face. Paul was not compromising the truth of the gospel message, but rather reaching people right where they were, spiritually and culturally. We do not try to make the salvation process easier or more welcoming. We simply present Jesus fully, okay? And so many of these things that what I'm going over, the reason for, is that the church, unfortunately, has compromised the gospel message, has lessened the need for repentance, has maybe even whitewashed what the definition of sin is in the hopes of growing in numbers and therefore not presenting the gospel, but presenting their own form of religion and denying the very power thereof. Are you with me, church? This is the reality. To reach lost souls requires us to sacrifice. It requires labor. It requires a great deal of effort, and so much so that we must make a choice today. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 and 33, he says, Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. He just got into a whole discussion there in chapter 10 of the Christian liberties that we have, how to use them, how not to give offense. And then in verse 32, he said, give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greek or to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. Now again, Paul is not just excusing what they do. He still presents what sin is, but yet he comes to them in such a way that he does not offend them. Folks, this is such a desperate need of our day and time today. We are so short-tempered. We are so unwilling to deal with things that are different than us, act different than us, talk different than us. You know, it's an interesting thing to finally get back into the workforce. I didn't realize how much I missed it. Now, I'm not diminishing what I do here, but I realize that sometimes we can be in our own little bubble and forget what we need to be dealing with and praying for. Amen? I can't tell you how many times people say, oh, preacher, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cuss in front of you. It's so nice to see people be people for once. Do you know, as pastors, we get tired of you lying to us. We get tired of you pretending. We get tired of you covering up. You know why I know that you're struggling? Because I do too. It's a reality. Amen? We have to check ourselves, but how valuable it is that when we can be honest and say, let's just talk about what's going on. I've had a chance to talk with some, and as I said, you just need to tell me how it is. Why? Why is it so difficult for us to talk? Why is it so hard for us to reach certain groups or certain people groups? What is the barrier that is here? And they'll begin to talk, and I'm like, stop whitewashing it. I've heard that from other people. I don't need that. Tell me what is really going on. And they finally open up. Now, everything that come out of their mouth, I didn't agree with. I was like, ooh, that's, yeah, ooh, I don't like that, ooh. But you know what I did? I just bit my tongue. I bit my tongue, and I kept saying, stuff your own attitude, stuff your own ideas. It doesn't matter right now because I need to hear what they're feeling, what they're experiencing. And I kept saying, Spirit, Lord, you're going to have to help me. I don't know what to do with all this. This is a big mess. And you're going to find I don't have all the answers. But you know what I didn't want to do? I didn't want to offend and burn a bridge that I could never cross again. Amen? We must shape our lives. My last point, a commitment to the gospel. We must shape our lives for the sake of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9:23, Paul says it perfectly. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. The word this, you think it would be, oh, that's so small. But actually what it's saying, the word this is translated as all things. He says, everything that I do for the gospel's sake. Church, can we say that? Can we say that with our very purpose? Do we get up here and we sing for the sake of the gospel? Do we live our lives? Do we respond to the altar call for the sake of the gospel? Because folks, our stability where we are and our faithfulness and our walk with the Lord is going to be seen by others. Are we doing? Are we living? Are we givings for the sake of the gospel? And there's a lot of examining that we could all do in our lives. What matters most to us is not our rights, our way, our custom, and even our preferences. Now, you might have to grit your teeth on that, but it doesn't matter. What does matter most is that the gospel message is preached, presented, lived, and shared, that we as believers, we have been entrusted with as stewards of the gospel of Christ. Are we going to be good stewards of what God has given us? Paul revealed that for him, the gospel was a consuming passion of his life. His desire was to be a partaker of the redemption that would be handed to and experienced by those that are lost. When's the last time we got excited about someone being saved? You know, I tried to grow strawberries for the first time this year. I didn't know nothing about strawberries. All I knew is what my grandpa said is, Don't plant strawberries in your favorite garden spot because it will own it and overrun it like weeds. So I put it in a great big pot planter thing I got on the back patio, and I had fertilizer, and I waited till most of the summer was over, and I put fertilizer, and then strawberries came out everywhere. And I'm thinking, man, why didn't I do that earlier in the year? But you know, it's hard to produce enough strawberries to fit our appetite. Dawn and I both, we love strawberries. So I made sure she got the very first one. Well, technically it wasn't the first one. The squirrels got the first one. She got the second one. And I was thinking, oh, that thing looks so good. And so I'm just sitting there watching her eat the strawberry. Is it good? Oh, yeah, it's real good. So you want to buy? No, it's yours. It's yours. And so I was just practicing self-denial so strong. And oh, you'd have been so proud of me. Just sitting there drooling like a dog at the supper table. I let her enjoy it. But I come to realize you have to have a lot of strawberry plants to satisfy. You know, now I understand why when I go to the store and I buy a carton of strawberries, you pay a small fortune for it. It takes a lot to make that many strawberries. It takes a lot of work to reach those with the gospel of Christ. It takes a lot of labor. It takes a lot of self-denial. It takes a lot of us adjusting our attitudes and our thought processes as a church. But God calls us to go at our own expense. I'm going to borrow a phrase from Ben Kingston. I don't know if it's original with him, but I want to ask you, church, have you ever considered yourself as a follower of Christ that you are a self-support missionary? You should be. I'm going to pick on some of you that has moved off a distance away from us. As your pastor, I cringed and feared that because you'd have to drive farther, that you wouldn't continue to come, but many of you have, and I love you for it. But here's the thing, I'm not the Holy Spirit, so God guides you in that. But here's something I want you to remember. As you're making that long trek to church, is there anywhere else that you could go that God has not called you to go? That you could be an effective missionary, even though you live a half an hour away, maybe 45 minutes away, that you can continue to drive here every single week as a self-support missionary and continue to do ministry in the Florissant area. Those of you don't have to drive as far. Did you know that you are a self-support missionary at your workplace, where you go to school, wherever you go shopping? You are a missionary everywhere you go. Have you thought about maybe zoning in on trying to go to the same cashier? I know that it changes quite a bit here lately, especially. We're going to the same checkout line. Maybe it's the longest one, but you know that individual, and maybe you can give words of encouragement or a help. Are you with me, church? A self-support missionary called to service, sacrificing so many things that we could give just so that someone else can hear the gospel of Christ. Now that I've just jumped all over you, if you're like you don't witness near enough, this wasn't a beat-up session. But it is a challenge. Church, how is our attitude? How is our attitude toward the gospel of Christ? Would it be safe to say that we need to ask the Lord to broaden our boundaries? Now, I'm going to warn you in something. When we ask the Lord to do so, we need to get ready. Amen? Resources are not the problem here. We talked about that in our Sunday school class. The Spirit is working. The cross has already been conquered. Death and hell and the grave has already been conquered. In fact, Jesus even said, I have even conquered the world. The resources are not the problem. But Paul said that, how is it that they will believe unless one is sent? How is it that one will be sent unless someone goes? All that we need, church, has already been secured and established. All we need now is our hearts to be broken for those who need to hear the message. Amen. We live in a culture that's more divided than ever. And you know, sometimes we use that as an excuse. We're so divided, we're so angry, and we just can't seem to get along. Someone needs to make the sacrifice. And can I tell you, church, it's not going to be the lost, amen? It's not going to be the community. It must be us. And woe are we if we don't do it, amen? How could we expect them to to make it more convenient for us. Jesus didn't. He came in all the sin and mess that every one of you, and me included, created for the Savior to go to the cross. You know all the suffering that he bore, or the pain that he suffered, the cruel, inhumane treatment that he suffered was because of me, but yet he didn't stop. Oh, how little gets us sidetracked. How little that we just give up. Church, I want to call us back to it. I want to call us back to the gospel, because there's nothing else that will save our nation, that will save our community, that will save this planet, but the gospel of Christ. Do you understand that? If we say that we've made a commitment, we first have to understand that it's worthy of our commitment. Lindsay Lane, how are we doing in that? Do we just keep thinking that, well, maybe the economy will turn it around? Man, I'm telling you, we're a mess, and it's not going to get any better until Jesus comes back. That's all there is to it. We're living out the results of our decisions and neglect as a nation, as a people. I'm not preaching to be pessimistic. I'm preaching reality. The sacrifice must come from the Lord's church. Are we going to go? Are we going to set our minds and our hearts to it? Can I tell you, you're not going to do it on your own strength, but we need to call upon the Lord. Make us an evangelistic body of yours. Come follow me. I will make you fishers of men. Let's bow our heads together. This will be our dismissal prayer. Father, as we come before you, Lord, break our hearts for those that we live around. Break our hearts for those that we work with day to day. Lord, break our hearts and help us to see that there's no greater calling than the calling that you've laid upon our lives. Lord, we thank you for the salvation that you have brought to our hearts and our lives. But Lord, may we be excited about sharing that same message and seeing the same working and salvation come to those around us. No matter the culture, no matter the color, no matter the differences that there may be, may you give us a boldness that is willing to reach beyond every boundary, which you have already torn down and made possible. But may you give us the courage to go. May we do so prayerfully. May we do so passionately. Not to please others, not to please one another, but to satisfy the glorious God that we serve, who we belong to. Lord, we thank you for using us to build your kingdom. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.